Let's pray for the message. Lord, I ask that you would make me better than I am, that it might be a time in which we hear something for each of us here that you want to say to us. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week I talked to you about spiritual erosion in a person's life, and which can happen and does happen all the time with God's people. And I'm going to be in a process of a series of messages dealing with spiritual erosion in our lives, and also how God may call some of us to be champions for God's people who suffer from spiritual erosion. This is actually kind of coupled with the Joshua study on Wednesday night, which is about taking dominion. The book of Judges comes right after that. So we're going to be looking at the book of Judges, especially we're going to look at the story of Gideon for a while. And we're going to begin by reading chapter 6, verses 1 to 6 of Judges. Let's read it together. Here we go. The people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed over Israel, and because of Midian, the people of Israel made for themselves the dens which are in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. For whenever the Israelites put in seed, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east would come and attack them. They would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the land as far as the neighborhood of Gaza and leave no sustenance in Israel and no sheep or ox or ass. For they would come up with their cattle and their tents, coming like locusts for number. Both they and their camels could not be counted, so that they wasted the land as they came in. And Israel was brought very low because of Midian. And the people of Israel cried for help to the Lord. We are all in danger of what so monotonously happens over and over again in the book of Judges. The people did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, evil is not necessarily doing really bad things. Evil is just living your life without any meaning to it and not serving the Lord with your life. Israel developed an easygoing religion, and they began to accommodate themselves to the culture around them. They became absorbed into their culture, and what they basically did is they forgot about God. We are faced with a similar struggle in every generation of the church. We, like the people of Israel, have to be careful that we do not become absorbed into the culture around us, because then we can no longer speak to a lost generation. And this is what happened to the people of Israel. And God had told them that if they went and they served other gods of the world, that he would allow them to come under a judgment of those people. Anyway, that's what happened as we begin the story of Gideon. So God sent a prophet to the people when they prayed for help. And the prophet had told them God's word. Read with me verses 7 to 10. This is where the prophet comes in. When the people of Israel cried to the Lord on account of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet to the people of Israel, and he said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I led you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not pay reverence to the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But you have not given heed to my voice." He said, "I am the Lord your God. You should not pay reverence to the gods of the Amorites, but you have not given heed to my voice." And God basically says, since you have worshipped the gods of the world, I let the people of the world just have you. So the people turned from worshiping God to worshiping the gods of their world at that time, and as a result, God had allowed them for 7 years to be harassed by their enemies. The people of God are literally under siege, and are suffering from siege mentality. Siege mentality. Every time Israel plants a crop, these enemies come in and plunder and destroy it. So the people are reduced to abject poverty, and they hide in caves, and they live in fear of the people of the world, the Midianites. The condition of Israel is a bunch of losers who have failed because they forgot the implications of their covenant relationship with God. And what happens is they became part of their culture. They are no longer distinguishable as God's people. They were doing evil in the sight of God. That is, they were doing what the world was doing. Are you doing what the world is doing? Are you distinguishable from the world around you as a follower of Jesus? Well, this is a story that not only about the failure of people like you and me who claim God as their Lord, it's also a story about God's faithfulness. God allows affliction to come upon them. Why? Well, God is obligated to press us at points when we begin to accommodate ourselves to the world's system of living. If you made a commitment to Jesus, there's a certain sense in which you have to honor that relationship. And God is obligated to deal with us about spiritual erosion because of His love and commitment to us as His people. So they were under siege because God allowed it to happen. They were suffering from siege mentality. They were living in fear. They were hiding from the people of the world who were beating up on them. They were bottled up. They couldn't live in freedom. Every time they would get something started, the Midianites would come in and just destroy it. Anybody here living under the cloud of siege mentality? Every time it looks like you're getting something started, well, somebody comes in and destroys it or steals it. Every time you get a little hope, somebody dashes it. Do you live in fear? Do you live in fear about your job or maybe your finances or maybe your marriage or your future? Are you hiding from the forces of the world around you because you are afraid? Does it seem like you always lose? Whether it's your fault or not, or your sin or not. Are you one of God's people under siege? Well, if you are, God may want to make a champion out of you if you're available to it. Maybe you will be a champion for somebody else as well. And so enter our hero for the next few weeks, a guy by the name of Gideon, one of God's champions. And I see in the life of Gideon a pattern of how God really raises up individuals like you and me to become agents of deliverance for people. In the book of Judges, time and time again, God would raise up a judge to work as a deliverer of His people, a champion of God. I believe that God raises up champions of deliverance in His people all the time. You may become a champion for somebody in your family or your circle of friends or maybe a ministry that God will raise you up to or maybe for that job situation or business. You may be a champion for yourself. God is raising you up just to deal with the world around you. There is probably somebody here, maybe a number of us, who either pray for God to help us out of our circumstance or our dilemma or our situation where we are and where we are under siege from the world around us. Or we know somebody or some situation which needs a champion to help with a desperate situation. There's probably somebody here who is praying, Lord, I want you to do a great work through me. Or someone who is just praying, Lord, I want you to do a great work through me in this particular area of my life? And if so, the model of Gideon and the principles apparent in his story are for you. By the way, the answer to the prayer that you might be praying is this: the greatest work that God will ever do through you is what he works in you. We need to say that truth about our lives. The greatest thing God will ever work through me is what he works in me first. And that's where we need to start, because it's what happens inside of us that will determine our ability to accomplish his works in our lives or in the world around us or in the lives of other people. And it's not until it is worked in us that we can ever do anything outside of ourselves. We don't need to start with the thronging millions out there who need to be saved in this world. We need to start right here with you and me, inside ourselves. If you really want to be a champion of God, a person in whom God's victory takes place, a person who sees that victory not only in the world around you, but who will see it in themselves as well, then I have a prayer for you. There's a prayer printed in here just above the potluck. After this scripture's over, it's in a box. Now, I'm going to pray this prayer, and if you want to, you can pray it with me, but I want to pray this prayer. Lord, I come to you now, placing my life before you. I acknowledge that whatever you wish me to be or to be involved in will only be victorious as I allow you to work in my life first. So, Lord, I come to you at this time and I say, teach me the truth that the greatest work you will ever do through me is what you work in me. In Jesus' name. Now, if you prayed that prayer, then let's meet our champion for today and for the next few weeks. Gideon is his name, but when we meet him for the first time, he's no champion of God. He's nothing but a loser. And you know what a loser is, don't you? Well, a loser is a woodpecker in a petrified forest. A loser is a guy who plays hide-and-seek, and nobody goes looking for him. Well, that's where we find Gideon. He is literally playing hide-and-seek. This story is for all us losers, for all the little people, for all the fearful people, all the defeated people, all those who discount themselves and who have either given up completely or are just ready to throw in the towel. People under siege. Let's read chapter 6, verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizrite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Now to start with, this is the wrong place to winnow wheat. This is where you crush grapes. This is where you winnow wheat if you are suffering from siege mentality and you're living in fear and you are intimidated by those who are seeking to rob you of what God says is yours. Gideon is in a cave winnowing what little wheat he has managed to save, trying to get enough grain for a little bread. You might say he's doing his job in the worst possible way. To winnow wheat, what you need to be is out in the open where the wind can blow the chaff away as the grain is kind of thrown up into the air. But he's living in fear, and so he's doing the best job he can in hiding. Then he stops for a moment, winnowing, and probably stops to wipe the dust out of his eyes and the sweat off his brow. And he looks out there in the distance and he sees, of all things, an angel sitting under this big oak tree. And the angel speaks. Read with me verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Now, here's an angel with a sense of humor. He says, "You mighty man of valor." But it sure isn't the way it looks, or is, for that matter. To call Gideon a man of valor is either funny or cynicism, unless this angel knows something that Gideon doesn't know. Gideon knows he isn't brave. In fact, he's living in fear and he is suffering under siege. Let me give you a great truth. And this is really the truth. God understands your potential much better than you do. We rarely see our potential. We also rarely see what we can do with God's help either. Gideon is so much like us. We just don't grasp the truth that with God we can do all things. Well, in the next verse, Gideon tells this angel what a mess the people are in and how it appears that God has forsaken his people. Let's read verse 13. And Gideon said to him, "Pray, sir, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this befallen us? And where are all his wonderful deeds which our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has cast us off and given us into the land of Midian." When God's people are in losing situations, by the way, if you're one of God's people and you're in a losing situation, we feel like God has forsaken us, don't we? Sometimes we get kind of resentful and bitter. And it's not that we don't believe. It's just, well, we don't like living like a loser. And that's when we ask, "Lord, what have you done for me lately?" And that's where Gideon is. In fact, God has told him that he is a champion, but Gideon misses the point that God is talking about him. So the angel gets his attention by raising up who he is and what God is calling him to be a second time. Read with me verse 14. "And the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you?'" The first question that Gideon deals with and we deal with is this question also. It's about who we are, our identity. God comes and he speaks to Gideon and he calls him a mighty man of valor. And Gideon questions that. You're saying, what? What? You're saying this about me? Now, if you read the Bible, this happens time and time again in the Bible. Wait a minute. Who am I to do this kind of thing? So many of God's people say those kinds of things. The same thing happens to us all the time. God comes to us personally. And he says, "I want you to do this." And some of us hear that, don't we? And he gives you a task and you say, "I can't do that." I don't know how many times I've asked people to do things that I think the Lord really wants them to do it, and their immediate response to me is just the same as Gideon's. I can't do that. What is happening is that God is telling you you are something more than you identify yourself as being. Anybody found themselves in a place like Gideon, the Lord comes to you, and at that time in your life, when you look at like nothing but a loser, and God begins to say to you, "Listen, you can do this work. I'm going to give it to you. You can do this work, and you are my person of courage and strength in this particular situation or circumstance." Now, the difficulty is, in our hearts, is to believe that this can possibly be true. You know, what if God speaks to you and he says, "I want you to be my champion. You are my person of valor in this particular place. When it happens, most of the time we feel unworthy, or we are just full of fear because of our own condition. Well, let me tell you, when God says something like that to you, it's really not based upon what you have done up to that point. It's not based upon your condition of life. It's based upon the fact that God sees something in you that is much bigger than you ever thought possible. And we need to see ourselves as God sees us. We need to see ourselves with the power of God's Spirit resting upon us so that we can be His people or His champions and not be filled with the fear that comes from our own condition. Think about it. Gideon responds the same way that we so often respond to God's call to be His man or woman in a given situation. If I am really one of your people, God, why is all this stuff happening to me? Or we respond by saying, I can't do that. If you look at verse 14 again, you don't have to read it. The Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you. Go in this might of yours. Of course, Gideon hasn't got any might by his definition at all. And you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Read with me verse 15 and 16. And he said to him, pray, Lord, how can I deliver Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. And the Lord said to him, but I will be with you, and you shall smite the Midianites as one man. Gideon says, how can I do this? I'm the weakest group of your people. I'm in the least of my father's house. And Gideon doesn't think that he is anything at all. Simply put, in our lives, in the life of Gideon, it's a question of authority based upon what we see or what is real when God is dealing with us. Gideon said, Lord, look, you say I'm your champion, your agent, but just look at me. I'm nothing but a pipsqueak compared to other people. Let me give you the facts, Lord. That's what he does. You think about your situations. Isn't that the answer most of the time to God's call on your life? Let me give you the facts, Lord. I'm not much here. Now, I want you to see the might in which Gideon will deliver his people, and also the might in which you can do what God calls you to do. First, the might and power in which Gideon really walks in and which you will walk in is the fact that God has commissioned you to do something. When you do what God says for you to do, He will always give you the enabling power and might and authority to accomplish it. If He calls you to do something, He's going to back you up. God says to Gideon, have I not sent you? Now, if you think about that, that's a commission. Now, it's important to have a commission in order to do something. But that's not all that Gideon gets, nor is it all that you will get when God calls you to do something. In verse 16, God states to Gideon, He says, surely I will be with you. Now, if God calls you to do something, He will go with you. You have divine companionship. You are not alone. God says, I will be walking right side by side with you. And that, by the way, is the same message that Jesus gives to all His disciples. He said, go into the world and make disciples of all nations. That's the commission. And then He says, and lo, I will be with you always to the close of the age. That's divine companionship. But Gideon has a problem, and it's a problem we all have. It's one of confidence and trust. That's our problem too. We don't have any self-confidence, and we don't trust God. I expect that everybody here believes in God. but I don't think everybody here believes him when he's talking to you. We believe in God, but we don't believe him. Most of us have feelings of insecurity, inferiority, and when it comes to self-confidence, we're pretty lacking in that. On top of that, we don't have much confidence in God either when he speaks to us. It's a question of confidence and trust. We believe in God, but we don't believe him. So in verse 17, Gideon says, and read with me 17 and 18. And he said to him, "If now I have found favor with thee, then show me a sign that it is thou who speakest with me. Do not depart from here, I pray thee, until I come to thee and bring out my present and set it before thee." And he said, "I will stay till you return." Well, at least Gideon has some manners. And the angel says, "Okay, I'll hang around." Now you have to understand that Gideon is like us. Take him out of the Bible, take him out of stained glass. He didn't have his life script in front of him any more than anybody here knows what's going to happen the rest of your life. You don't have your story laid out in front of you. He's still in process as well, working through what all this means. He's looking for some kind of divine sign. Anybody here ever look for a sign? I do. Lord, I just need some. Give me a sign, Lord, that you're really with me. And it's really from you. Asking for a sign is a pretty good sign that we don't have much confidence in ourselves or God. And I've been guilty of that. Read with me verses 19 to 21. So Gideon went into his house and prepared a kid and unleavened cakes from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket and the broth he put in a pot and brought them to him under the oak and presented them. And the angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened cakes, put them on this rock, and pour the broth over them." And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord reached out the tip of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened cakes, and there sprang up fire from the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. You need a sign? Suddenly, this is no longer a meal for a stranger, but this meal became a breakfast of champions. Literally. Suddenly, Gideon is no longer thinking of himself as a loser, but he might just be a mighty man of valor. He might actually appear on the front of the box. If he doesn't have a heart attack first, he just might make the cover of Wheaties. It says in Scripture, "Now Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord." Read with me verse 22. "Then Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, and Gideon said, 'Alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face.'" No kidding. Gideon figures this whole thing out, that this is holy ground, it's a holy place, it's a holy time. Gideon sees his face on the box of the Wheaties. Confidence and fear are side by side in Gideon. Gideon becomes a player, an agent of God, when he recognizes unmistakably that it is the Lord who has been talking to him. Holy ground. Holy ground happens when you come into the presence of God and he speaks to you about being his man or woman. Now, I don't know what your condition is today or where you are in terms of God's purpose in your life. But I do know this. If you allow God to speak to your heart about being his champion in a given situation or circumstance or a person's life, or maybe it's your life, then you're on holy ground. Gideon was filled with fear because he thought he was a dead man for seeing God face to face. But out of the air the Lord speaks. Read with me verse 33. "But the Lord said to him, 'Peace be to you, do not fear, you shall not die.' Well, I tell you what, it's always good to know that God isn't out to kill you. Now, it may seem at times that that's exactly what he's doing. And what he starts cutting things away in your life that you think are so essential for your fulfillment, it feels like he is killing you. But he isn't. He's just killing off those things that, you know, if they're unchecked, can end up destroying you or you're carrying a burden. So Gideon builds an altar there. Read with me verse 24. Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is Peace." What happens here is he makes the place where the Lord spoke to him a place of worship. We do the same. We need to make the places and the times where God has spoken to us holy ground. And that holy ground remains as a witness to us and others of how God has worked in our lives. Gideon is a man who has come into the presence of God in a siege situation. I mean, he is literally besieged on all sides by the world, and in the midst of that situation, God not only begins a process of deliverance, but he makes Gideon the champion of his own deliverance. Gideon, with the might and the power of God resting upon him, is about to be the champion in his own life situation. God not only saves us from our sins, but he sometimes calls us to be his champion instead of a loser in life situations. May you this day hear the message of the angel who sat under that tree, under that oak. The Lord is with you, you mighty person of valor. Go in this might of yours and deliver you and those around you from the siege on your own life. If God calls you to be a champion, he will go with you. And that is good news. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the times when you come into our lives, even those times when you sometimes scare us to death when you show up. And we thank you that you call us to be your people. Help us to be the people you want us to be in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.